All right, welcome back. Hobbo and Frank in studio. We have clearly friend of the program, Chris Wright of the Saber on the line, and we've been talking a little basketball. I think Frank now, Chris wants to use a basketball term, pivot, but to move over to the football side since practice begins tomorrow, I believe. Is that right?
Tomorrow morning, and I will be there.
Uh-huh. Well, you're the man to ask. Go ahead, Frank.
All right, bright and early. Broncos' second season getting closer. Chris, you got spring ball that'll run for what, about a month or so, and then you've got summer ball, which they call fall camp, which is, oh, I always thought that was humorous, and then you've got the season opener. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, Bronco and the football program, and you know what you think you're going to see, and what will we see. And what should Virginia fans expect?
I'm not sure Virginia fans expect anything when it comes to football at this point. I don't mean to be rude about it. It just seems like Virginia fans have kind of moved on from football until they show something. And that's unfortunate because it's obviously the sport that fills the coffers in terms of donations. And it's a 60,000-seat stadium. If you put more people in the seats, you'll make more money. So beyond expectations, though, Coach Mendenhall keeps saying they need to really focus on football reps this spring. Yeah, that sounds obvious, right? But last spring they did a whole lot of culture change type of things, whether that was how to stretch properly or how to take the field properly or whatever sort of things they wanted to address culture-wise, they spent a lot of time on last spring. This spring it's going to be more about reps, you know, throwing an out pattern on timing or off-tackle run or whatever. They're going to work a lot on that sort of stuff. And hopefully that will lead to a better product on the field.
Okay. With that said, they secured a slew of graduate transfer offensive linemen that allow the offensive unit to at least go a full two deep this year and should allow or should enable the quarterback to have more time to throw the football. With all these 300-pound behemoths up there blocking, you would think it would make it much harder for anybody to get back there. And, you know, Ben, this should help Ben Kurt. What are your thoughts? And, you know, can you get an offensive line to gel that quickly?
And the offensive line remains the kind of big question mark for the offensive side of the ball. You know, you lose a lot of experience on that side, but you do have a lot of experienced guys from other programs, at least, coming in. So, like you said, will they be able to gel? The numbers alone made it necessary to bring in grad transfers. They simply could not field the necessary amount of offensive linemen without taking some, even if they took a ton in the freshman class, which they did. They just needed more bodies, right? So will these guys be a part of the two deep? Will they actually start? Will they play a lot? We'll see how all that shakes out. But if the offensive line doesn't play better, the rest of it is really kind of immaterial, I think, in terms of the quarterback and receivers and all that sort of stuff. The line has been far too inconsistent for far too long. I thought Coach Tuajay kind of danced around that a little bit in a recent Jeff White article. He said, I'm not saying the old guys had bad habits. It's just they didn't have the habits we want them to have. Which is kind of a nice way of saying they didn't play the way they were supposed to, I thought. So, and maybe I'm reading too much into the quote, but they need the line to play better, bottom line. So that's going to start this spring, hopefully with more reps, even though some of those grad transfers aren't here yet.
Well, at the very least, Jack English is going to hold down the left tackle spot. So, you know, the blind side should be in good shape with, you know, English, who's clearly – and arguably the best example of a young man who improved every year in the program and has really been a terrific contributor. Let's talk about the recent defections. Landon Word, the son of Barry Word, announced that he was going to transfer out. He played quite a bit this past year. I found that shocking. Matt Terrell, another linebacker, transferred out. He also got a lot of reps this past year. So what the heck is going on with the linebacking core? And with that said, Micah Kaiser is back, which is good news, and Quinn Blanding at safety is back. But what the heck are these two linebackers leaving after only 1 year?
I think that caught everybody by surprise since they essentially got fast-tracked last year as freshmen and got a lot of reps due to the depth at linebacker. But then, you know, Bradshaw gets hurt too, and there were a lot of reasons those guys got on the field early. But they certainly had picked up enough reps to be considered to get, you know, heavy playing time going into this year. The other thing I thought was bizarre about it was the timing of it. They didn't transfer at the semester break, right? They went all the way through winter workouts, and then the announcement came that they're going to transfer. So can't quite put my finger on it, but it seems like a lot of odd timing things happen so far with Coach Mendenhall's program, whether it's guys committing on social media and then they decommit, and it's a question whether they had an offer for real or not, or guys transferring at odd times, or you know, whatever it may be. There's a lot of kind of strange timing things that go on, and maybe it's just part of the, you know, whole making the sausage sort of thing. You know, you don't want to watch how it's made, but we'll see what this pays off or not long-term with his program as he kind of gets things lined up the way he wants them, you know, odd timing or not.
You know, in the positive column, Noah Taylor, a linebacker from Bethesda, Maryland, and the Avalon School committed for 2018, and that was a good get. Wyatt Rector, a quarterback, albeit a kid coming off an ACL injury, who is a good dual-threat run-pass QB, who had 1,500 passing yards and 1,200 rushing yards, combining for 28 touchdowns in his young career. He still has his senior year to go through this year. Seems like he's a good get if he can stay healthy and have a solid senior year. At the same time, they've offered a number of players, an in-state junior, Brian Cobbs, running back target, Ronnie Walker. They got this young man from outside linebacker, Case Gatlin, has been offered and has made some visits. And Brandon Smith, who's only a sophomore. How many 6'5", 200-pound sophomores are there out there? That seems like an awfully big sophomore, doesn't it, Hobbo?
It does. It does. But
I mean, he's obviously eating his Wheaties and everything else around him.
We need players, though. That, you know, it's still true. Good players make good coaches.
So it sounds like the coaching staff is doing reasonably well, getting out there and identifying the right type of young men, and they're getting the visits. And these kids, some are committing, some are thinking about it. And you know, it appears like things are moving along fairly decently, and I know we'll have Chris Horn on here in the next couple of weeks to try to get a more of an analysis of this. But what's the vibe in Charlottesville relative to the football program?
I think the most encouraging part about the football program and Coach Mendenhall is that there's very clearly a plan.
Yep.
Right? Like, they are filling out positions based on a set criteria, based on a set number of bodies they want at that position, based on a succession plan, right? So you're talking about the young man that just committed at quarterback. Well, they've got a couple of freshmen, Devontae Cross, Sonny Abramson, coming off redshirt years at quarterback. Zanders is coming in from Missouri as a transfer quarterback to play in between those freshmen and Kurt Binkert, who came in from East Carolina last year. So that's the biggest thing. There is very clearly, if you sit down and look at it, there is a plan. The question is, will they be able to execute it and get all of those things lined up the way they want it to? I think if you look at the number of offers that are out and the type of mold that most of them fit into, both physically and the type of schools they're coming from, there's reasons to be encouraged there. We'll just have to see if it pays off on the field.
You know, there's a plan, there's a strategy. The big factor becomes, will the fan base be patient enough to allow the plan to be executed to success? So I guess that remains to be seen. I guess my concern, is it a 2 or 3 year plan or is it a 10 year plan? How long are we going to have to wait?
Yeah, is it?
It won't get to 10.
Is it 5 or 6 years?
I think it's a several year plan. Probably. All right, 2 to 3 years.
You know, before we, you have one more football question. Go ahead.
I got one more question for you, Chris. You know, Bronco seems to love this one horse he has up in his. His little farm estate out there.
So you're talking about a real horse.
Talking about a real horse named Hot Rod. Do you think Bronco can recruit a couple of Hot Rods and get this program going?
The first thing is to get kind of the missing pieces in place, right?
Yes.
So
yep.
That they have a foundation. And then we'll see if he can up the recruiting on the other end and get your 4-star, 5-star type of guys. But I'm not 100% sure that that's his attraction off the top here. It feels very much like a brick and mortar built from the ground up type of approach.
Yes.
They do have a couple of linemen coming in, and linemen are never all that highly rated. The young man from Georgia that I'm the most interested in, a kid named Fanning, that could step right in and play right off the bat as a true freshman, fits the kind of, if they get a lot of those type of players, whether it's an offensive lineman or another position, then I think he might be cooking with peanut oil at that point. So we'll see if they can get more of those guys or not.
Yeah, we'll hope. Chris,
we'll hope so.
Before we let you go, Final Four prediction. Who's going to cut down the nets next Monday night?
Man, who would have thought? Gonzaga, South Carolina.
Oregon.
Oregon, I mean, just mind-blowing that this is the Final Four, that three of those guys could win it. Ultimately, I think the Tar Heels probably get it done, though. I know they keep playing with fire, but I do think they're the best team that's left, and I think they're playing the best the majority of the time.
Yeah, and I think the other factor, you know, they've got the experience because you got Gonzaga and South Carolina that have never been to the Final Four, and Oregon, what, 78-year absent? Hopefully yeah. Virginia won't get to 78. You know,
yeah.
we're at, 33 or something like that now. So hopefully we won't make 78. And, you know, the tough thing for me about the regionals this weekend was thinking back to last year, how close we were, and I think last year's team was a Final Four caliber team, so it really is unfortunate that we kind of fell apart in that last 9.5 minutes against Syracuse last year, but hopefully we'll be back on the doorstep before too long. But Chris, we've taken a lot of your time. We really appreciate your visit tonight and look forward to having you back on soon.
Thanks so much.
Great job, Chris. Thank you so much. All right, we're going to head to break, come back on the other side. Habo and I are going to solve all the UVA problems in one fell swoop. So stick with us. Who's Talking? We'll continue.